WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day on the program. Although it is a chilly day, feels like winter out there instead of spring. Well, we're almost halfway into spring here, and it's, a month into spring. I guess it depends on how long you think spring actually lasts. But it is certainly chilly out there this morning. It's around 30 degrees when I left. I've got 31 right now, and as you walk around outside, you're going to say, either good thing I put my winter jacket on this morning, or man, I should have put my winter jacket on this morning. And as you just heard in the forecast there, it's not going to get much better. You're going to have some unsettled weather over the next couple of days, and it's going to stay right around this temperature. So those of you who thought, oh, I can turn the heat off, like me, you might go through a stretch where you got to turn it on for a little bit, like me. 508-996-0500 is the number to call in. You can also use the app chat and open line voicemail features on the WBSM app. Later on today, starting in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have your 10 codes today for Money Talks. We'll have a code every hour beginning at 8 a.m. all the way through 5 p.m. And each code is your shot at winning $1,000. You just take the code and you enter it in at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. And you're entered to win. It's that easy. Getting paid for already listening. You're already listening, so you might as well get paid for it, right? Thanks to Long Moving and Storage for sponsoring Money Talks. So that first code will be in the 8 o'clock hour and then one every hour the rest of the day. So I want to talk about a story that I thought was a little bit strange. And I meant to bring it up on Monday because I read it over the weekend. And I actually meant to bring it up with Mac, my intern from Stonehill College. So Mac's here. You know, you've probably heard him doing the news in the afternoons. He's here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday as part of his internship. His professor is Maureen Boyle, who you've heard many times here on the station, former Standard Times reporter, author of books such as The Ghost and Shallow Graves. And so, you know, she's teaching the next generation of potential journalists. Although what I'm finding is a lot of these kids are saying when they are taking these journalism courses, yeah, I don't think I want to be a journalist. I think I want to go into marketing, PR, because that's where the money is. There's no money in journalism. And they're not entirely wrong for wanting to do that. Just those are hard jobs to get, and usually they come from people who have worked as journalists first. But anyway. So that's why you hear Mac a couple days a week and you hear Mike the rest of the time, because Mac is only here on a limited basis as part of his internship. But I wanted to talk with him about this because it actually is a Stonehill story. And this comes from The Summit, which is Stonehill's student-run newspaper. Apparently there was a woman who was running for election in Stoughton, which is where Stonehill is located. Oh, no, Stonehill's in Easton. But you know, in that area. So she was running for the redevelopment board in Stoughton. Her name is Rachel Lazarus. And there's a local paper that covers the area called the Suburban Shopper. Now, the Suburban Shopper to me sounds like, and I didn't really do too much digging into what it's all about, but it sounds to me like one of those, you know, towny kind of newspapers where there's probably a small staff of people or maybe even one person that puts it out. You know, think of like the Fairhaven Neighborhood News, or there used to be one in Wareham. I can't think of it. I used to work for it. But there was two. The Wareham Observer. There was two. It was the Wareham Observer and another one, and then they combined. I don't know, whatever. But these, you know, these small papers that are, you know, community news oriented, that offer affordable advertising options for people. You know, most of the time these papers are not paid for. They're dropped off somewhere and you pick them up at the grocery store or the convenience store counter or something for free. But anyway, so that's what we're talking about. The Suburban Shopper is like, you know, like we used to call them the Penny Saver. We said that back when I was a kid. So this Rachel Lazarus, candidate for the Stoughton Redevelopment Authority, contacted the Suburban Shopper pretending to be a reporter from the Summit named Rachel Landau. So she was claiming to be a reporter from the Stonehill student newspaper named Rachel Landau. And she claimed to be a journalist working on a story about Stoughton's municipal election. So the Suburban Shopper asked her, well, who are you with? And she says, I'm Rachel, and I'm writing for Stonehill's The Summit. But she used her own phone number, which the Suburban Shopper looked up the number, or maybe it came up on the caller ID, but they figured out that she was not a reporter from the Summit, but that she was actually this candidate. And so the Summit, the Stonehill newspaper, reached out to her and said, what the heck? What's going on here? And her response was, I am so sorry. Yes, I did that. And I kind of can explain. I was not in my right mind. I should not have done this in the first place. She said that there was a heated ballot question campaign going on in town and claimed that one side of the campaign was violating rules such as endorsing candidates. She also accused the Suburban Shopper of not giving equal ad space to both sides of the campaign. The ballot question proposed, this is from the Summit News, the ballot question campaign centers around a proposed debt exclusion to fund the construction of a new elementary school in Stoughton. She thought that if she pretended to be a reporter from another news outlet, from a local student paper, she would get the Suburban Shopper to answer her questions more directly. This is what she told the Summit. I wasn't sure if I could trust them to answer my questions directly, and that is why I saw there was a girl named Rachel on the Summit, and I figured that that would work. Except there was no, there is nobody named Rachel that works on the Summit. So she got caught lying and then lied again. Now, Ron DiMatteo, who is one of the partners in the Suburban Shopper, pushed back on the claims made by Lazarus about these supposed unfair ad practices. Suburban Shopper is an advertising local community newspaper with equal opportunity where anybody can take out ads at any time they want. We have no say in who gets more ads. Ad space is booked on a first-come, first-served basis. We're completely impartial. We are neutral. We don't take sides. We are an equal opportunity platform. We don't express views either way. Now, Maureen Boyle, the advisor to the summit, again, as you all know, former Standard Times reporter, author, frequent WBSM guest. She told the summit that the summit staff works hard to cover the college community and works daily to maintain the highest level of journalistic ethical standards. It is troubling to receive this report that someone would pose as a member of the staff and try to draw the student newspaper into a municipal political campaign. So here's the crazy part. Rachel Lazarus won. Even after this story came out 4 days ago, and maybe people in Stoughton just don't read the summit. And I didn't look any deeper to see, I'll have to look during a break or something to see if any other news outlets pick this up. But I didn't see it pop up on like Channel 5 or Channel 10 or any of these like local stations. So I don't know how much people of Stoughton knew about this, but if they did, she lied. And they still voted for her, for the Redevelopment Authority, which I don't think she was an incumbent based on what I saw online of who was on that board. But she got about 800 votes more than the next person in the race. 2,361 votes for her. I mean, that's just crazy. If they had talk radio in Stoughton like we have here, I'm sure that would have been the talk of the day for days. But instead, Stoughton voters were just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, I guess her last name is Lazarus. I guess it's appropriate, because I would have thought she was dead in this race after that story came out. And I was talking with somebody who they're not necessarily from this area, but they spent time in this area as a reporter. And so they are familiar with, you know, reporting on municipal elections. And I shared this with him, and he said, there's going to be people that claim that this was a hit piece. And I said, how can it be a hit piece? She did it, and she admitted to doing it. Like, the summit has to step forward and tell this story. They can't hold off and wait until after the election to do this. That wouldn't be right. And I said, also, I don't think Maureen Boyle would let a hit piece get published in a student newspaper. As she said, it's they're not getting involved in a political debate. They're just reporting what happened. But this person said to me, there's going to be people who think that it was a hit piece and are going to vote for her because this story came out, because they feel bad for her. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that was the case. But crazy, just absolutely crazy. And by the way, that statement from the Suburban Shopper is absolutely correct. Why would a business want to pick sides in a political debate, in a political battle, in an election? We don't do that here when it comes to advertising. You know, hosts might have their opinions and hosts might have the people that they prefer. But that doesn't mean they're not going to give equal time to other candidates if it's needed. Now, I'll be transparent with you. You know, we filter all the candidate interviews into Chris's show because he's the best at it. You know, he's the best at talking with these local politicians. He's been in that world. He's served as a local politician. He's covered them for newspapers. He owned a newspaper. He knows people that are involved. Like, he's got a level of expertise that other people can't handle. Also, Chris has the time and knowledge and ability and what's the word I'm looking for here? Organizational skills enough to be able to make sure that he's giving everybody that equal time. And to make sure it's not, you know, just willy-nilly, like, oh, look, this person wants to come on. Okay, we'll book him. Okay, this person wants to come on, we'll book him. Which tends to happen in talk radio. Candidate reaches out, wants some time. You want to fill some time on a Wednesday? Sure, come on. And then things aren't balanced. That's why we have Chris do it, and we're very adamant about it, and Casey helps, and we make sure that everything stays what it's supposed to be. Now, it's not, people have this misunderstanding of what equal time is all about. There's nothing that says anything has to be equal in advertising. Advertising is just for whoever wants to buy it. You know, Rick Trapillo bought ads for the Fairhaven Select Board race. I don't think that Natalie Mello bought any ads. I don't remember hearing any. So if you don't understand how it works, you hear it and you say, well, I don't hear any ads for Natalie Mello, but I hear a lot for Rick Trapillo. WBSM must want Rick Trapillo to win. No, just only one candidate came and spent money on ads. That's it. That's all it comes down to. The opportunity is there for everybody. We actually have to reserve enough ad space for candidates that if there's an election, we make sure we have plenty of ad space available for every candidate in every race to be able to buy time. Just not everybody does. Well, it seems like we hear an awful lot of Republican candidates on WBSM all the time. Right, because it's conservative talk. Well, talk radio is generally conservative, so they know that that's the audience they want to reach. It's nothing more than strategy. Now, I'm trying to make it so that that's less of a case. I want people who are not conservative to feel like they have a voice here. And certainly I'm not. So, you know, we're trying to expand that platform or shed some of that belief. But certainly any candidate can buy ads for any race. You know, as Chris said, he doesn't put write-in candidates on the air. Because to him, it's a formal process to be a candidate that he respects and that he has reverence for. And people who decide to campaign just as write-in candidates. And, you know, sometimes people get into it late. Sometimes people are recruited into it. Things like that happen. But sometimes people do it because they're circumventing the process. And so, you know, he doesn't want to give those people time. Fair enough. I don't disagree with that. But even write-in candidates could buy ads if they wanted to. There's no qualification to buy a political ad for, you know, being part of a party or anything like that. Just comes down to the check or the credit card has to clear. And I'm sure the Suburban Shopper is the same way. I'm sure the people who run the Suburban Shopper have a favorite coffee shop that they go to every day. And they probably encourage that person to buy advertising in the Suburban Shopper. But that doesn't mean if the rival coffee shop across the street wants to buy an ad, they're not going to publish it. They're not going to take their money. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back with the news with Mike. And we can take your calls coming up after the news. But right now, let's go into the newsroom with Mike Roberts.
More tariffs on China going into effect, resentencing for the Menendez brothers, and a new Billy Joel special.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump's special envoy to the Middle East is set to lead nuclear talks with Iran on Saturday.
U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff will lead the talks on behalf of the United States, which is set to focus on Iran's nuclear program. In an online post, Iran's foreign minister described the talks as an opportunity as much as it is a test, going on to say that the ball is in America's court. Direct talks between Washington and Tehran haven't taken place in a decade. Speaking Monday at the White House, President Trump said Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon, and if the talks aren't successful, Iran will be in great danger. That follows earlier comments from the president to NBC News, where he said if Iran doesn't make a deal, there will be bombing. Trent Murray, Tel Aviv.
President Donald Trump's 104% tariffs on China have officially taken effect, along with tariffs impacting dozens of other countries. The average tariff is 29%, some as high as 40%. China faces the steep number due to new tariffs imposed by Trump on top of levies from his first term. The Menendez brothers' resentencing hearing is set for this week. Tammy Trujillo has an update.
New Los Angeles DA Nathan Hochman plans to ask a judge to withdraw a previous resentencing request, claiming the brothers have shown no remorse.
One filed by the court, one filed by the prior district attorney. We're prepared to go forward with the court's motion, but we've asked the court to allow us to withdraw the prior district attorney's motion.
Lyle and Eric Menendez have been serving life sentences for the 1989 murders of their parents in their Beverly Hills home. Last October, then-District Attorney George Gascon recommended resentencing for the brothers, who claimed they were sexually abused by their father and that their mother was aware. The entire hearing on Friday may be moot after California Governor Gavin Newsom sent the case to the parole board.
Officials in Florida say death row inmate Michael Tansey has been executed. The 48-year-old died by lethal injection last night at the Florida State Prison. Tansey was put to death for the 2000 kidnapping and murder of Miami Herald employee Janet Acosta. It's the nation's 11th execution in 2025 and the third in Florida. An HBO original two-part documentary called Billy Joel and So It Goes will be opening at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York this summer. Mark Mayfield has details.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song tonight. Well, we're all in the mood for...
The announcement was made by the festival's CEO and co-founder, Jane Rosenthal. This year's festival lineup hasn't been announced yet, but organizers say it will be soon. The festival runs from June 4th through the 15th. Festival goers can buy passes and tickets at TribecaFilm.com. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The acting IRS commissioner is resigning. Multiple reports say Melanie Krause is stepping down after the agency agreed to share illegal immigrants' tax information with federal immigration agents. Krause is the third person to lead the agency since January. Doug O'Donnell was an acting commissioner until his retirement last month. The Restore Roosevelt Avenue Coalition wants the feds to investigate prostitution in Queens.
The coalition is urging the FBI and DEA to step in to stop prostitution on Roosevelt Avenue in Jackson Heights. They set up their microphones on Tuesday in front of what they called an active brothel.
These are cartels, these are organized mobs, and they must be stopped.
Former State Senator Hiram Montserrat, he says in addition to prostitution, these international groups engage in human trafficking, illegal gun and narcotic sales, and identity theft. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Authorities in Virginia say three people are dead following a shooting in Spotsylvania County. Three others were injured when multiple shots were fired around 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. The sheriff's office says deputies found all six victims outdoors. There are no suspects, and the ages of the victims have not been released. Spotsylvania County is about 65 miles south of Washington, D.C.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics hung on to beat the Knicks in overtime 119-117 last night. Seas are in Orlando tonight. Blue Jays over the Red Sox 6-1. Those two teams back at it tonight at 6:45. Bruins over the Devils 7-2. The Chicago Blackhawks come to Boston, take on the Bruins tomorrow at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunshine today, 46, clear and colder tonight, 29, partly cloudy tomorrow, 47, showers on Friday, 50. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
And that, of course, is Madonna, one of my favorite Madonna songs. It's from a movie that I love that many people don't even remember. Came out in the 90s, called With Honors. About Brendan Fraser plays a guy who is attending Harvard, and he lives with a bunch of his friends, including, I think, Patrick Dempsey was one of them. Maybe Janine Garofalo was in it, too. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it, but Joe Pesci plays a homeless man who ends up, you know, befriending Brendan Fraser, and they become roommates. And I don't know, the whole thing is very much a sappy, sentimental movie. But at the time, I was, you know, planning on going to Harvard. And that movie was one of the first movies that I saw in the movie theater that, like, wasn't an action film or a comedy or something, where I was like, oh, like, I can go see regular movies too. And I just thought it was a very sweet film. And that song was a great song from the soundtrack. At a time when Madonna was killing it on soundtrack songs. She had that. She had This Used to Be Our Playground from A League of Their Own. Then, of course, she came out with Evita a few years later. But anyway, why am I playing Madonna and talking so much about Madonna? Well, because Madonna and Elton John have buried the hatchet. They had a decades-long feud that began in 2002 when she made the song for Die Another Day, which was not a good movie soundtrack song. It was all right. But I guess Elton John referred to it as the worst James Bond tune ever. And so that led to the two of them taking shots at each other publicly over the last, you know, 23 years. But then this past Saturday night, Elton John was on SNL with Brandi Carlile. They have a new album out together. The only songs I've heard were the two that they performed, but they were fantastic. And so Madonna snuck over to SNL to watch his performance. Now, why is that a big deal here on the South Coast? Because as you can read about at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, Madonna was wearing a locally produced leather jacket. Vanson Leathers from Fall River, who collaborate with a number of celebrities, and celebrities love their jackets. She was wearing a Vanson Leathers jacket. She posted photos with Elton backstage where you can see the Vanson patch on her jacket. So, you know, getting a little Fall River news into what is a pretty momentous photo in the music industry. Now, for those who aren't familiar too, you know, Elton John has been pretty public about the fact that he's losing his eyesight, and he doesn't know how much more time he has to perform. But, and plus, you know, time wounds all heals, as Groucho Marx said. But still, this is a, you know, this photo is going all around viral across the internet because these two musical icons have patch things up, and there's a Fall River jacket right there for you. So pretty cool. And if you've never seen any of their stuff, Vans and Leather stuff, I mean, DJ Mustard wore a jacket from Vans at the Super Bowl with Kendrick Lamar this past year. Lady Gaga's been seen in their stuff. Alicia Keys. And if you go to their website, they're not cheap jackets. You know, we're talking $800 to thousands of dollars. And as explained in the story, many celebrities just buy them off the rack, so to speak. You know, they just take them as is. But some reach out and say, you know, I'd really like to get this customized. And so Vanson will work with them to customize things. But they're also, you know, they do a lot of things in the community. They're giving internships to Durfee students, all kinds of great stuff. And you can read about it in the story at WBSM.com. And on the app, we have some links to some other stories about Vanson in that story. But it's almost like a little bit of a game of I Spy or Where's Waldo type thing with the folks here at WBSM and Fun 107, where if we see a celebrity in a leather jacket, we're like, is that a Vanson? Is that a Vanson? Look and see. So I think that that's pretty cool. Now, the SNL episode overall was, it was all right. Jack Black was Jack Black. They had a few funny sketches, but the bigger problem for me was I was having trouble with the sound. It sounded a little, it was hard for me to hear everything. Good thing I watched TV with subtitles on. But for the most part, this season has been pretty kind of hit or miss for the 50th season. But it's not going anywhere. So anyway, a little bit of local connection to SNL, although we always have a local connection to SNL. Also in that story, you can read a link to Phil Devitt's article from when he got to go and visit SNL. He attended a taping, a broadcast, but through his friendship with Wally the Cue Card Guy, Fall River native himself, Phil was actually able to go to the after party and hang out with Woody Harrelson, who was the host that night. And you can read that story, too. That's linked up in there as well. I've always wanted to go to one of those tapings, but it's just such a process. You have to get into the lottery. And then if they pick you for the lottery, then you have to go on the date that they give you the tickets for. Or the other option is you can go and wait in standby. And if people don't show up, then, you know, you can get in, but you've got to be there like on Thursday to get in the standby line and just hang around out there until they start giving out those tickets. So every year I say, oh, I'm going to enter the lottery this year for SNL tickets. And then I never do. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's a different experience to see it actually happening before your eyes, but a lot of the show is pre-taped. And so you're watching it on a screen as they're setting up for the next thing. I think it might take some of the magic away, but I also love seeing how things work behind the scenes. Now, that's why I'm loving Monday Night Raw on Netflix, because I have the ad-free tier of Netflix. It's included with my cable. Or my phone service, one of the two. So I just, I don't have to pay for the, you know, it's included in my bill and it's the ad-free tier. So when Monday Night Raw takes a commercial break and everybody else is watching commercials, they'll show what's going on in the arena to the people that don't have commercials. And it's like, you don't realize until like you go to see it live or you're watching it in this fashion. Like when they send somebody out to the ring right before a commercial break and they're playing their music, their entrance music, and then they come back from commercial, they're still playing their entrance music. They don't play that music the whole time. They stop it, and then that person's just kind of standing around in the ring doing nothing during a three-minute commercial break. Maybe they show some videos up on the Tron or something, and then when they're coming back from commercial, they start playing the person's theme again. And you're like, oh, that's kind of cheesy that they do it that way. Seems unnecessary. Seems like they could just come up with a different way of handling that. But anyway, 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a few. Bon Jovi. I can't believe you would say something like that. Jonathan Bon Jovi, how dare you? I don't know if he's actually Jonathan, but anyway, 508-996-0500. The sun is out, it is shining, but it is still chilly. You're still looking at about 30 degrees out there, so if you're heading out the door, make sure that you layer up. As Christina Schallhoop told us yesterday, don't put those layers away just yet. Because it's still chilly out there, and it's going to be that way for the rest of the week. It's going to be, what did you say earlier? It's going to be in the 20s tonight, 29 tonight? I had already put away my electric blanket, but I think it might have to come back out. I have a little heating pad that I put on my back when I go to sleep, and that kind of warms up my whole bed, but maybe it needs the heated blanket, the electric blanket. So I was going to mention to you, as I was saying, you know, we've got some different contests that are coming up. And of course, we are in the middle of Money Talk, so you will get your codes beginning at 8 a.m. But I've been hinting at some of the shows that we'll have this summer. And I had mentioned previously that we will have tickets to give away to see Cyndi Lauper in the coming weeks because, you know, we just donated a pair to the Mercy Meals and More Comedy Night fundraiser event. But that's not the only show we have coming up. And in fact, next week we're going to be giving away tickets to see Melissa Etheridge. And I was thinking, this actually was Mike Roberts' suggestion. He said, you know, instead of just giving tickets away by having people enter at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app, which we'll still have people entering that way as well. But he's like, maybe you hold back a pair and do a little contest, come to my window after the Melissa Etheridge song, where someone comes down to the window here at WBSM, and the person that comes down and has the makes the best case for themselves to go to this concert ends up going to see Melissa Etheridge. So I'm thinking about that. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe what we'll do is, you know, we'll hold off in the Friday pair. We'll do that for Fun Friday next week, that you'll have to come to my window and let me know why you should go to see Melissa Etheridge. But we'll also have your chance to enter to win tickets as well, because that's a lot easier for people. Not everybody can make it down here at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. But stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up next week. And, of course, it's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy it. A little bit later on, I'll have some info for you about a couple of tasting events happening at Stevie's this weekend that you might want to take part in. But right now, I've got to take one more break before the end of the hour, and then we're going to go to the news. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment, but we got an app chat message from Participation Trophy Wife, who says, if I ever get to name a roller derby team, it would be called Militia Etheridge. I like that. I think, you know, that wouldn't be a bad name to call her fan club either, but I think, you know, it might have some militias kind of have a connotation that people might not like. Although, speaking of militias,